Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 82, Text 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Shuka Uvacha Nanda Tatra. Nanda Tatra Yadu Vraptam Gatva Krishna Parogama Tathagama Dvito Gopai Anastarya Dikshaya. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Nanda Maharaj learned that the Yadus had arrived led by Krishna, he immediately went to see him. The cowherds accompanied him, their various possessions loaded on their wagons, purport. The cowherds of Braj were planning to stay at Kurukshetra for some days, so they came equipped with adequate provisions, especially milk products and other foods for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. Om Agana Timarandasya Ganandina Sumakaya Taksur Mutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Krishnam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Siddhati Sapatantitam Pancha Kalpa Tarupasya Kripa Sindhu Vayetacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Port Royal, Pennsylvania. I just was able to stop in for a day at Gitanagari, the most Vrindavan place. Henry, it was a last-minute thing. Otherwise, we could have met here. It's the most Vrindavan place outside of Vrindavan. That's my conviction. And especially enjoyed, wanted to speak of Radha Damodar, but the pure devotees that live here. But also, the culture of milk from protected cows and the flowing in cheese subject that you could eat without guilt. Anyway, it was just a wonderful stay. It was nice to see how well the infrastructure has been built up. Now they have to work a little bit on the devotee community internally. There's not that many people there. But I gave class at Taruni's house. And the people from Harrisburg that I know, wonderful people, that I was actually staying at their house, they came to the program too, which was kind of fun. I think they really enjoyed it. So today, if any of you are free at 2 o'clock, I'm going to Lakshmi Nisringa's house. He lives, and there's 20 minutes from Manhattan, there's a gated community, the first gated community in America. And, you know, you go off a regular street in Jersey with, you know, grocery stores and, you know, cash checking. And it's 500 acres and you enter into rolling hills and valleys. And it's like being in the most beautiful part of upstate New York and with all these estates. And Lakshmi had helped one Indian doctor many years ago, was indebted to him. He has a 14-bedroom, on 8 acres of land. And he kind of has given the carriage house the luxury. So we have a beautiful out in between the trees, and beautiful we did it. We have a little kirtan, and I speak maybe 20 minutes, and of course, prasadam, and really nice different types of people come. That's, I think it's 3 Oak Bend Road, West Orange, or Orange, New Jersey, I think. I'm not sure which. But, I'll be headed there, and I'll be stopping in Reading, Pennsylvania. 2 people that I met in India that run a yoga studio. Yeah, they become devotees. So just all over, by Prabhupada's mercy, so many people are being touched by his pure presentation of Krishna consciousness. You can go a little quicker, or is it, I mean, whatever this speed limit is, Okay, I see it. Yeah, I got it. Okay. So let's get to this story of what Krishna meets the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. It's a famous story in the Bhagavatam. If you think of the significance of the story, Krishna wanting to relish the happening, to become complete, to relish the happiness of his topmost, to relish the happiness of a devotee. I explained this so many times, the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Leela, sometimes called the Charya Leela, because he's teaching by his own example how you become a devotee. And becoming a devotee means getting devotion. And what is devotion? It's love. And what is love? Love is a relationship. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. Krishna consciousness by Rupa Goswami means it's the mindset of emotion. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa, of your particular feeling of love in relationship with Krishna. If there is love of God, why should there not be relationship with God in a variety of ways? So, Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya. And to fulfill that desire, especially we see it in the end part of his life, and in the end part of his life, as I mentioned many times, he's directly associating with Krishna the form of the holy name and trying to cultivate a relationship with Krishna by hearing about the person whose name he is chanting to increase the affection for the name. And because he was, and this is Bhakti, was aspiring for a specific love, which we also should come to that point. He wants to experience the love of Radha. He wants to experience the love of his topmost devotee. And at the height of her love, which is the mood of separation, he meditates on various pastimes. The Ras Leela, when Radha was separated from Krishna, and the sentiments that she felt. Akura taking Krishna from Vrindavan, and what Radha felt when those chariot wheels were moving. And the feelings, and especially the feelings of the residents of Vrindavan, specifically Srimati Radharani, when they went to see Krishna at Kurukshetra after 96 years. And not only that, that feeling of meeting Krishna, but the feeling of separation. When Krishna has is in the vesha of the king, the dress of the king, surrounded by his retinue, and therefore he cannot reveal the more intimate sides of himself in friendship and love. That's not appropriate in an assembly of honor, in an assembly of majesty, an assembly of Aishwarya. And therefore, it's not really Krishna. It's the same entity, but the Krishna is not just the entity of God. It's the entity of God that's fully revealed in love, which requires a certain intimacy bereft of any sense of superiority. Does that look like a Shisha forest fire or something? Or is this just clouds? Okay.
The valley is dark colored.
Okay. This time, although I'm speaking when I'm driving, I have a driver. So anyway, the solar eclipse is there. And to counteract the inauspiciousness, it is traditional that people absorb themselves in chanting God's holy names. And they not only absorb themselves in chanting God's holy names, but they try to go to a holy place. And Kurukshetra, because I didn't speak yesterday, last week we had the Bhakti Immersion Retreat, wonderful. Filled it up, 75 people. So that was so wonderful. So there's a solar eclipse. And people from all over India go to holy places. And Kurukshetra is Dharmakshetra. Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra, Samaveta, Yuyatsava. What did my sons and the sons of Pandu do? Desiring to fight at the holy place of Kurukshetra. Places have incredible influence. That's why, I mean, going to Gita Nagari, so sattvic. And I walked 25 milking cows with huge milk bags hanging down to the ground, and I was walking in the field among the cows. What a wonderful to feel that influence of holy Dham. Hopefully the roads will get better than this. Yeah, see if the other side is a little bit more smooth. Okay. So, as I didn't speak in 2 weeks, and maybe there's someone new, we should follow it. So naturally, when you observe a holy place, you got to reorient your consciousness to receive the full effect. This concept of positioning yourself, it's kind of like there's an energy of mercy of God, but you have to move in a way that you can receive it. And moving in a way that you can receive the energy of God to experience the love of God and the glory of God and the superiority of God is called ritual. So what part of the ritual is you bathe in the holy river and purify yourself of the grime of egotism. It really is powerful. It really works in that way. And maybe observing fasting. Control the tongue. which is constantly crying out, I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer, I am the, I want, I want. So maybe reflecting on that by fasting and increasing one's spiritual activity. And then on permission they take, such a nice thing, on permission they eat. Because that cultivates the sense of humility. If humility is anything, humility is the acknowledgement and the execution of a power greater than ourselves to be the authority over what we do. That's humility. It's not oppression, it's constitution. We're part of something greater than ourselves, just as the hand is part of the body. It's not oppression for the hand to take, it's not oppression for the hand to take dictation from the body. It's the constitution of the hand to take. So it's a difference. And therefore, we have a bad taste of humility because we think it's something artificial imposed. No, it's our nature. Humility is love also. Love is to take dictation from the desires beside your own. So, so therefore, it's very nice. May I take that? And when you have that relationship with superiors, whether it's the love of a father, a love of a mother, a love of a wife or a husband, or the love of a guru, then that sense is a sense of great joy. Because it's a bhav, it's a mood of love. So it's a great joy. Anyway, the residents of Vrindavan and the residents of Dwarka who are connected with Krishna, they greet each other very, very affectionately. You love someone affectionately because they're part of God. And that doesn't compromise. And love is a relationship. So you love someone as a friend, as a parent. You love them because they're part of God. And you love them in terms of your relationship with those people as parts of God. But then they talk about Krishna. That's the result of loving relationships and Krishna consciousness. That's the result of love of Krishna consciousness. You talk about Krishna. Otherwise, if it just stays on the platform of those relationships without connecting to God, it's sure to be about yourself eventually. So to keep the purity of our love, we have to connect it to God. And then, of course, Queen Kunti's there, and we always see a lamentation of her life. But the happiness of her life, because her value system is not our pleasure. The value system is the association and service of God. And all are amazed when they finally see. They're amazed. Why? Of the opulence and beauty of Krishna. It's infinite beauty. It's infinite knowledge. It's infinite strength. Even a drop of beauty can knock us out. A drop of beauty can allure us. But when you actually want to serve God in the depths of your heart, that's what you pray for. And you eventually get the darshan of Krishna. The infinite beauty becomes overwhelming. The infinite sound of Krishna becomes overwhelming. The infinite touch of Krishna becomes overwhelming. And the infinite love of Krishna becomes overwhelming. And then the kings that are there, they praise the Adus because not only do they have the association of Krishna, but they have some bandha. They actually even have a blood relationship with Krishna because they're connected with Krishna. Cynthia is Krishna's aunt. Vasudeva is Krishna's father. And the sons of Kunti are the Pandavas. So they're cousins with Krishna. So there's an extra special connection there. And therefore they're considered very, very fortunate. That's the most fortunate thing, to have the relationship with God. There can be nothing more fortunate than a relationship with God. There can be nothing more fortunate than relationship. You have everything in the world. You have no friends. You have nothing. The greatest opulence is love. The greatest opulence is a relationship. Because it's the nourishment of the soul which is meant for love. So there can be nothing greater than pure love. But the highest love, plus sin, parama prema rup, is that the nature of the bhakti is the nature of the highest form of love for God. And a connection in that way, in a real deep relationship with God, is the most fulfilling thing. Because it is the basis of all relationships. But it's the object of relationship manifest in full. And when those when that relationship manifests, you get the special relationship potency, devotional potency. You get to host that in your heart. And to host the love of God in one's heart is the apex of everything we've ever been looking for. Which is so ironic, we have so many desires unfulfilled. But the one thing that is really of value, we have access to immediately, because it only requires a change in consciousness. I don't know if you know this devotee, Mukta Vanya. He served at Gitanagra for so many years, and he would sell flowers. And recently he semi-retired selling flowers. And the newspaper wrote a whole article on him. He was an icon in Harrisburg. People loved him. And this Graham, these people I knew from Harrisburg that visited, I introduced them to him, and then the guy said, oh my God, now it makes sense. And he had a friend named Jules, and Jules, she was a big bank executive, And this Graham told me that the executive committee of that bank had a big meeting to get rid of the man with the mark on his face. It doesn't look good. It's front of the bank. It may ruin our business. And this Graham said that this Jules stood up in the board meeting and said, if you remove him, I quit. And I told him, he said, he's a nice man. And I told this to Mr. Bundy, oh yeah, I remember Jules. You know, she really. Why? Because there's no selfishness in the heart. There's only a mood of pure love. That's the greatest optimism. So they see the beauty of Krishna and the opulence, and they're amazed. They're amazed. So now Nanda Maharaj, he learned that the others arrived, led by Krishna, immediately went to see him, the cowherd boys. Think of someone you love very much and think how difficult it would not be to see them for six months. Think how difficult it would be if you hadn't seen them for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. Now they haven't seen Krishna, so we'll read. Seeing Nanda, the Vrishnis were delighted and stood up like dead bodies coming back to life. So an impetus for love is Krishna and those who love Krishna. It's very, very natural. But to see the devotees of Krishna is such an impetus for our bhakti. Not having seen the greatest devotee of Krishna for so long, it was like the life there, returning to a dead body. Bhakti is often described, compared to a life there. Machita makita prana bodhiyatas parasva. The devotees, machita makita bodhiyatas. It's my life. Machita makita prana. It's my life. By light. And therefore, in separation from Krishna, one apparently has no life. Raghunath Das Goswami prays in Palap Pushpanjali with the medicine of the red lac, he's praying for Radharani, the medicine of the red lac of your lotus feet, now cure this servant of yours, near dead by the snake bite of separation. Having felt much distress at not seeing him for so long, they held him in a tight embrace. Now after separation, we know we like to hug people and show our affection. They're actually hugging Krishna. They're smelling him. They're feeling him. They're touching him. And he's embracing them back. And they're embracing the devotee, Nandabaj, excuse me. Vasudeva embraced Nanda Maharaj with ecstatic love. He sighed to himself with ecstatic love. Vasudeva remembered the troubles Krishna had caused him, forcing him to leave his son and go cool for their safety. So, seeing Nanda Maharaj reminds him of Krishna's birth. And it reminds him of all the suffering that he undergoes. He's in ecstatic love, and he's in the embrace of Nanda Maharaj, and then he's remembering that I was driving, I was with my sister, being driven by Kamsa, my brother-in-law, to my family home in great anticipation on the day of my sister's marriage, my wife's marriage, that marriage to my wife, Devaki. And then an Akashvani comes from the sky. Oh, Kamsa, you are such a fool. Because on the chariot that you're carrying is the womb that is carrying your death. So that's what a demon means. They're selfish. To the extent you put yourself in the center, and to the extent that you will move things around you without consideration for the effect it has on others, is to the extent that you're cultivating demoniac qualities. So Kamsa, as the biggest thief, when he sees that his own sister potentially can cause an harm, he's ready to kill her in a second. In a second. And he grabs her hair, he lets go of the reins, he grabs her hair, takes off the sword, and you know, he's shaking because this, you know, it's a very heavy thing to kill your sister, obviously. And then Vasudeva, he can't fight with Kamsa. Kamsa's too powerful. But he tries to pacify him. Then he tries to make him a little fearful. He said, how can you kill a woman who is your sister on the day of her marriage? How horrible. That makes the front page. Man kills sister. A woman. Man kills a woman who is his sister on the day of her marriage. Because finally, Kamsa, he's ready to give up, but then he thinks of a particular injunction in Shastra, which is important, that we should try to save life as much as humanly possible. And inspired with the direction of God through the holy text, he gets the inspiration and he tells Kamsa, it is not my wife that will kill you. It is her eighth child, according to the Akashvani. And if you believe the Akashvani, then why? I'll just give you every one of the children. This saved my life, at least. Of course, Vasudeva is feeling anything can happen between now and then. So the situation is saved, And Kamsa agrees, because even though he's a demon, he understands. He understands the culture of integrity and honesty. And how people adhere to their word. They have that samskara, that impression. So it just shows you what the level and culture of honesty was. You can't even imagine it. People just, you know, certain people were so honest and so many samskaras of the validation of keeping your word that they would never break it. You know, I met people in India like that. You don't meet them anymore. The old mailman, Dadu. He said, I'm going to the holy place. He worked as a manager in some firm. Decided not to wear shoes. Later he got so sick that he would not wear shoes. He always went barefoot. This is a promise. The former principal of the group will be for me, Dr. Sharma. And his son left home and his wife died of a heartbreak. He vowed, I'll never eat grains, I'll never eat salt, I'll never eat sugar, I'll never eat nuts, dried fruits, I'll never eat grains, I'll never eat any oil, I'll never have any spices. And then for his whole life, he just followed that strictly. No more rationalization. Once the vow is made, a person would never break it. O hero of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram embraced their foster parents and bowed down to them, but their throats were so choked up with tears of love that the Lord could say nothing. Purport. After a long separation, a respectful child should first offer obeisances to his parents. Nanda and Yasoda gave their sons no opportunity for this, however. For as soon as they saw them, they embraced them. Only then could Krishna and Balaram offer their proper respects. Raising their two sons onto their laps and holding them in their arms, Nanda and Saintly Mother Yasoda forgot their sorrow. So painful that Krishna was away for so long. Then Rohini and Devaki both embrace the queen of Vraja, Yashoda, remembering the faithful friendship she had shown them. Their throats choking with tears, they addressed her as follows. Rohini and Devaki said, what woman could forget the unceasing friendship you and Nanda have shown us, dear Queen of Vraja? There is no way to repay you for this, even with the wealth of Indra, because I guess when Vasudeva is feeling persecuted by Kamsa, then Nanda and Yasoda extended some friendship. Before these two boys had ever seen their real parents, who acted as their parents. So Krishna, because Kamsa, again, his life was just, I mean, Vasudeva's life, even at the marriage, was practically ruined. His wife's life was threatened on the marriage. And then later, even he had to hand over his children were slaughtered by Kamsa. That Kamsa just became so overwhelmed with fear that he threw Vasudeva in a prison. So he lived a lot of his life in prison. And then when the child was born, knowing that Kamsa would come to kill the child, he somehow transferred the child to the womb of Mother Yasoda, at least replace that child with his own. So they were, in one sense, there's deeper meanings too, the foster parents of Krishnananda Yasoda. Before these two boys had ever seen their real parents, who acted as their parents and gave them affectionate care, training, nourishment, and protection. What a definition of parental responsibilities. Affectionate care for training, nourishment, and protection. They were never afraid, good lady, because you protected them, just as the eyelids protect the eyes. Indeed, saintly persons like you never discriminate between outsiders and their own kin. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna and Balaram had not seen their parents for two reasons, because of their exile in Vraja, and also because they are never actually born, and therefore have no parents. Vishwanath described what Devaki thought before speaking this verse. Alas, because for so long these two sons of mine had you, Yasoda, as their guardian and mother, and because they were immersed in such a vast ocean of ecstatic loving dealings with you, now that you are once more before them, they are too distracted even to notice me. Alas, you are behaving as if insane and blind with love for them, showing millions of times more material paternal affection than I possess. So the love in Vrindavan, because there's no sense of reverence, is more forceful. There's no sense of obligation and duty. It's just their child. Where outside of Vrindavan, there's some conception of Krishna's divinity. And if anything it ruins parental love. Because parental love, the mood is anugraha, or mercy. And therefore, the love to be fully manifest, you must see that the child has need. Therefore, a young child invokes so much more maternal love. So Devaki is saying, Yasoda, it's her humility, but it's also truth. Her love is so much greater. You'll stop right outside their home, not going in, right before on the road, so I'll finish the class. Then when Devaki failed to get any response, thus you simply keep staring at us, your friends, without recognizing us. So let me bring you back to reality on the pretext of some affectionate words. Then when Devaki failed to get any response from Yasoda, even after addressing her, so she's so absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. There's nothing outside the object of your meditation. And therefore, the love samadhi of pure prema bhakti is the greatest samadhi. It's amazing. She thought he can't even see. Then when Devaki failed to get any response from Yasoda, Rahini said, "My dear Devaki, it's impossible just now to rouse her out of this ecstatic trance. We are crying in the wilderness, and her two sons are no less bound up in the ropes of affection for her than she is for them. So let us now go outside to meet with Pritha, Jhopri, and the others. Okay, because I'm getting towards my place, and, you know, somehow I was able to leave the class in the car as ideal as sitting in one place, especially after eating that incredible farm prasad. Now they have a nice devotee cook. A couple came from New Zealand. And that perfect golden yellow khichdi filled with vegetables and huge chunks of paneer made from the cows, with raita made from the milk of the cows and tomato chutney. And knowing I'm not going to eat it this evening, I feel a little fatigued during the class. We continue. Are there anybody who would like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
This is Nanda Dula. Please accept my humble obeisances.
I do not have to announce your name because your voice is so sweet and anyone can recognize your voice. But anyway, all we say is Nanda Dula.
That's your mercy. Maharaj, you know, when you mentioned about Kongsha wanted to kill Devaki because he wanted to get rid of his death. Don't you do every day the same thing? Want you to solve the problem and get creating another problem all the time? This is like a demoniac mentality.
You mean you're seeing the same mentality in us that we are expedient and we try to. It's so true, love. This is crazy management. We try to solve one problem, not realizing the context of the problem and the other problems it solves.
Exactly, Maharaj.
In the Bhakti Center, that's what we were facing. I was there. Somehow they called me in a meeting. So, you know, they moved the deity kitchen because they need a kitchen for the restaurant. Right? But if you're not thinking in a broad context, then you solve the restaurant problem and then you have Radharani's kitchen in the basement. And that's putting Radharani in the basement because she's always in the kitchen. So you always have to solve problems in greater context than your immediate needs. Even if your needs are legitimate, you still have to consider the context. And that's called expedient. Yes, we do it all the time. We do it all the time on the Dulao.
Thank you, Maharaj.
We take shortcuts. We solve problems by, and we cause bigger problems. So the problems, we have to be very, very thoughtful. We have to see the implication of them. And we have to take our personal motives out of the way and just think what is truth. Sometimes it's said that, you know, you sometimes argue with a person, or a person wants to solve a problem, you say, he does not let the facts get in the way of his truth. Don't get the facts. People just are expedient. Yeah. Great problem. And therefore, real leadership has to be province. Broad-minded people who have the detachment and the peacefulness of mind to give legitimate solutions to problems. Okay, any other questions? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhagavati.
Bhagavati, wow. We missed you.
Wonderful to hear you. We're at Devanagari and appreciating all the wonderful changes.
Well, I was appreciating, but I mean, it's still got to develop the community there, as you know, to nourish the spiritual life of the Savites. But a lot has been done, and somehow or other, even though so many people, even Acharya and Sudevi weren't there yesterday, they were taking their kids to his college. You know, even all this stuff is, you know, there, you know, still when you, when a core group of the Gita Nagari people meet, you feel more in Vrindavan than any place in the world, you know? It was great. The kirtans we had with Hari's daughters, those girls from Ghana, they did such nice kirtan. And, of course, Swaga was there yesterday, and Brajalila, and Jagadananda, and we at Taruni, and Yadu, and Jambavati, and some of the children of Yadu. And it was just so sweet. And these people I know from Harrisburg who are very devout Christians and relished the program and were chanting. And it was pretty wonderful.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm glad that you were there.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
It's Shradanjali and Kalachanji.
Thank you. So nice to hear from you. Whenever I'm speaking, I know you're listening. You know, and that gives me great solace. And I know which points you especially appreciate.
Oh, thank you. It was a wonderful class, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Bo.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail. So many things to say, Maharaj.
I know.
Like,
we have you've earned by your great patience a private session of just questions answering. Are you around in about an hour?
Oh yes, Maharaj. Yeah. But actually I just wanted to tell you that, you know, how you mentioned all of my favorite things in this class. You mentioned being in Gita Nagari. You mentioned golden khichdi with lots of vegetables in them. And you mentioned raita. And you mentioned the cows. I'm like, you know, totally jealous right now.
Cows. You just have to be everyone's well-wisher, even when you can't enjoy.
Well, I'm not there yet, Maharaj.
But I'm telling you that the lady is very nice. Is there now?
What's there now?
Who cooks? It's perfect. Yeah. I would be jealous too if someone was giving a class at 9 o'clock in the morning. And of course, I'm paying the slight price. It's digested, but I was a little woozy giving the class.
And speaking of classes, you know, I'm about to hear from Vrajalila right now because she's going to give the class at the next conference that I listen to.
Oh, what did she give it on?
I forget what the subject is going to be, but she's about to give it right. It's starting right now.
How often does she give it?
No, well, this is a conference where there's a different speaker every week, and so this week it's she.
Okay. Forward me the information, so maybe sometime I would listen to it.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else like to say hello?
Shubho Maharaj.
Is that Mother Indrani?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you for class. You were giving the class and driving at the same time?
Yeah. I saw Bali. I saw Bali there.
Yeah.
I told them just because Mother Indrani's not around, don't think you can misbehave.
Did he tell you I was there for the retreat?
He told me, and I hope you checked on him.
I did. It was so nice. Yes.
Okay. No. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Mother and Johnny. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We can end for now. Thank you all. Bunch of culpa to you.